Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. This is the podcast that's all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi and welcome to episode 21. I've got to say I've been pretty excited about this one for a little while now. Today we're speaking to the film and music video director, Steve Hanft. Steve has worked with so many great people, but of most note is that he directed the 1998 Elliott Smith documentary called Strange Parallel. Now, if you haven't seen that film, I really, really recommend you do. I've put a link in the show description in case you can't find it. And it's like no other music documentary you'll probably see ever. It's part live performance, part sort of surreal dream. So it was an amazing feeling when I woke up to an email saying Steve was up for being interviewed. In this chat, we cover his favourite song, of course, how Strange Parallel came about, and the friendship Steve struck up with Elliott while they were filming it. So here we go then. I don't want to hold it back any longer. This is the interview with Steve Hanft that Elizabeth Widstanley recorded in Los Angeles.
My name is Steve Hanft. I'm an independent film video director. My favorite Elliott Smith song of the moment is, because I love them all, but right now I've been getting into Condor Avenue. I've just been writing a lot and thinking about my youth, and whenever I hear Condor Ave, it makes me think of where I grew up in Fillmore, California, where the only California condors left on Earth lived behind my house in the Sespe Creek. And I lived on this place called Grand Avenue, and then I always think of condors flying over because they have the largest wingspan of any bird on Earth, and so they would black out the avenue. And so Condor Avenue just makes me think of, you know, my wonderful childhood in Fillmore.
She took the Oldsmobile out past Condor Avenue. She locked the car and slipped past to rhythmic quiet two lights burning.
I mean, just knowing Elliott, like, knowing that he was, you know, pretty upset about being abused when he was younger, then I kind of feel some vibes about that in the song. And there's a darkness to it, but then the way he deals with it is so, it's such art. It's so artful, and it's also so musical. And his voice has a really great quality on that song, the way it goes in with the guitar, and it's very... People say Elliott Smith sounds like so-and-so, or sounds like, but I don't think so. I think he's so original. This really sounds like Elliott.
Lights burning, voice driving hearts. I threw the screen door like a bastard back and forth.
I think this is one of his first songs. I think he told me that. Anyway, he must have been about 16 when he wrote this. And so it seems like a film noir movie to me or something. Like, it's really like about a neighborhood, and these people have all these intense emotions, and there's some sort of breakup, walkout going on. And so I think personally it could tie into his youth when he was young and he was having these hard times dealing with his family.
The chimes fell over each other. I fell into my knees.
Yeah, they're amazing, these lyrics. I love how he talks about, like, specifics, like the Oldsmobile. It makes you think about the car and the colors of everything. To me, it's really poetic because I don't understand the narrative, but I like that about it. I don't want to understand it as a straight story. Just some kind of vibes, like something that makes him feel depressed, and also like how, like, getting away from this situation would make him feel good. Or him, or not him, the characters. I feel like it's the characters that he's coming up with.
Six shouting like you hear at the fairground. Now I'm picking up to put away anything of yours that's still around. I don't know what to do with your clothes or your letters. It'll make a whisper out of here.
He was always reading Raymond Carver when I was hanging out with him, these short stories. And Raymond Carver was kind of like about slices of life. There was never the whole picture. And so this tune is kind of like that for me. Like, it's like a short story that's really poetic to where you have to deal with it on your own terms. So the song means something else to every person, I think.
She took the Oldsmobile out past Condor Avenue. The fairgrounds lit, a drunk man sits by the gate she's driving through. Got his head.
He could have heard somebody in his life say, I'm going to make a whisper out of you or something. Or like on the song XO, Waltz number 2, it's about something he witnessed. You know, he was at the karaoke and he saw this going down, a conflict between a couple that was broken up and they were competing each time one of them took the mic and did the song. Like, one's Kathy's Clown. And then there's You're No Good by Linda Ronstadt. So it's like a battle. And so he's like a great novelist or something, or a poet like Rimbaud or someone like that, where they can find all these visuals with words and put them together.
I wish that car had been scuffed. It took away the bottle and the hat he was on. That's the one thing that he could never do, and it'll make a whisper out of you.
When did you first meet Elliot Smith?
Yeah, you know, I had a band called Sexy Death Soda, and we were playing in Ventura at this outdoor art gallery sculpture garden where there was a lot of rocks. It was called Rock Fest because we were in the middle of some rocks. And I saw him there, and I was playing this really funky song I had about a beeper store called Beeper City. But then that's not the first time I met him. I had met him a couple years before that, but that was when we really became friends, because he came up to me and told me he really loved my song, Beeper City. And anyway, okay, so a couple years before that, I would work with Ross Harris, who directed some Elliot Smith videos, and I did lighting on one of his videos.
Can you tell us about the short film that you made about Elliot Smith called Strange Parallel?
Okay, so the record label calls, and then they wanted to do a little documentary on Elliot, and so I was like, fine, but then you got to go meet Elliot. So I went to Portland for like 2 days and talked to him, and so we went out to eat, and on the first day, and I asked him like to explain every song on the album on XO. And he talked about what every song meant to him. And so I was like, well, we'll make a documentary about like this album and about you and stuff. And he was like, I don't really like to talk about myself. And also I want it to be really fucked up, the movie. And I was like, oh, okay, good. Because I don't really do anything straight. You know, I'm kind of a surrealist. And he was like, okay, great. And I was like, okay, what about writing down a couple of your dreams? And he was like, I can't remember any dreams. And I was like, okay, well, let me just work on this. And then he was like, fine. And then the next day he picked me up and he's like, I've been having dreams all night. And I was like, let's write them down. And he wrote them all down on a napkin at the Starbucks. So most of the movie is the dreams sequence. It's just one dream, really, that's intercut into the film to make it fucked up and not have it be a straight documentary.
I'm lying down, blowing smoke from my cigarette, little wisp of smoke signs that you'll never get.
Is the quirky, strange humor in the film a combination of both of you and you guys coming together?
Yeah, I wanted to do the straight documentary like the label wanted to before we had the meetings about it. But then when he said he wanted to be really fucked up and then he started not answering any regular documentary questions, then it just kind of took its own form into like more of a avant-garde film where it's like visual poetry. And
I think one can get the feeling for how he was as a person in this film.
Sure. I mean, it was straight out of his dream. And then his dream was a comedy, really. Like a drill sergeant comes out and starts yelling at me. Satan is sitting at the booth. And so when he talked about the robot hand in the dream that the label and everybody in his life was forcing him to get, That was because when he talked about the lyrics on the album, XO, a lot of them were about some people, his management, some people he worked with, I'm not sure, did an intervention on him. Because he was talking about it so much when he was telling me what each song meant, that it, I think it set off this dream. People telling him, you're drinking too much. You're smoking too much. You don't have a cell phone. You need to have a cell phone. You need to tour more. You need to do all these things that he wasn't, he felt like he could have gone about his career his own way. That's what he's making fun of in the dream, or that's what the dream is making fun of. So the dream is not him, it's maybe his subconscious, I think. So I think that's why it's more avant-garde.
Someone's burning out on Condor Avenue, trying to make a whisper out of you.
A lot of the fans are mad at me, and sometimes I get emails like, you know, what is this, you know? And then, well, that's what Elliot wanted, so that's what you get, because I work for him. You know what I mean?
How did he feel about how the film came out?
He didn't ever see it for like a year, and then one night he called me up, and he's like, I'm going to go, you want to go to the Blues Explosion with me? And I was like, yeah, of course. And he came over, and we're like, smoking a little bit of pot and drinking a little bit. And he saw this flyer on my wall where I showed the film with some other weird films. And he was like, kinda, I haven't seen the film, you know? And I was like, you haven't? What? You know, because it was like 2 years before that. And I gave him a copy, and then he called me the next day and he was like, I love the movie and stuff. And then Joanna, who is also in the movie, who worked with him, and he used to date her, she called me a couple days later and she was like, I love the movie too.
Elliot must have felt comfortable with you for you guys to come together and make that film.
Yeah, I like to drink beer. He likes to drink beer. And we like to hang out in bars and talk about old time rock and roll and punk rock and stuff. And at the time when we did Strange Parallel, Elliot wasn't on any drugs. He was just drinking a little bit and smoking cigarettes. And so it was a really great time to hang out with him.
What a shitty thing to say, it's really mean. You never said a word to me about what passed between us. So now I'm leaving you alone. You can do whatever the hell you want to. Na 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 na.
So thank you then to Steve Hanft and Elizabeth Wood Stanley for that great interview. As I said before, do check out Strange Parallel if you haven't seen it, or even just to watch it again. There's bound to be something in there that you missed. I should also say a huge thank you to Ross Harris, who helped us set up the interview. And quickly, just before I go, I'd like to give a little mention to our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, so do follow us. We're at @MyFaveESmithSong. Lastly, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new episode, so do stay tuned for that. And see you soon.